With Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder, this is In Perspective.
As a believer, I have a reliable faith whereby my eyes are fixed on Jesus. Then that means, as the song says, I lose sight of all else beside but Him, Christ the Crucified. That's what it does for me. As John Newton said, when I see with joy the pardoning voice of Christ and what He paid for me on Calvary's tree, when I see that, I gladly exchange the duty of law for the joy of a son to follow the directives of a father.
Welcome and stay with us as Harry Reeder applies the scriptures to the everyday events of life, that we might begin to view our existence from God's eternal perspective. That we might view all of life from a biblical perspective. Today on In Perspective, Harry brings us the second half of a message entitled Changing Clothes as a Christian, Part 2. We continue with our series from Colossians. If you spent a few hours jogging, exercising in the gym, or doing yard work, you would probably be filthy, sweaty, and smelly. Now, if you were to be the best man or bridesmaid at a wedding that day, you had better not even think of participating without first cleaning up and putting on your tuxedo or gown. Well, the proper attire for the believer is to always be clothed with the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, many times we still have on dirty, filthy garments of the old self with its earthly passions and sinful desires. We must be clothed with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forbearance, forgiveness, and love, knowing that we are God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved. If you have your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter 3 and verses 12 through 17. Here again is Harry Reeder with the second half of the message, Changing Clothes as a Christian, Part 2.
Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Look down in verse 14. And above all these, put on love, which, literally the word is belt, which belts everything together in harmony. If you're putting clothing in the Middle East, the belt held everything together. Put on the belt of love. And then so that now that you've got these five layers of clothing, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, now belted all together with love, which brings harmony to the body of Christ. Harmony, not melody. Melody is everybody singing the same notes. Our melody is not the focus. We're different, but harmony brings us all together. Diversity brought to unity with what? Love. And what is love? Patience, kindness, goodness, etc. Well, now that you've got the clothing on, what does this look like? Now just jot these things down. We don't have time to go through them. I'm just going to give them to you. Here are the seven things that Christian clothing, those five layers of clothes belted together in love. Here is the calling. This is what it produced. Now, before I give you these things that are listed here, before I give them to you, I got to point out just two things for you. Number one is this. Every one of these things, do you see how they're building in the text? Do you see how they're building one on the other? It starts with what? The whole thing starts with the statement of compassion. Compassion is manifested with what? Kindness. And you're able to do that because of what? Humility. Humility. When I graduated from Florida Theological Center, Westminster South, they gave us a diploma with one hand, and in my office, you'll see it, is a towel with our initials on it. He said, here's your diploma, this is your achievement. Here's your towel, this is your credential for ministry. God's servants wash feet. That's what they're to do. They're ready to do anything. We're not giving you a diploma to elevate you, but for you to have the privilege to kneel. Humility, which then is manifested with gentleness, that's experienced with patience, and it's all wrapped up together in love. Do you see how they're building one on the other? And let me give you a second thing to just note before I give you these, the Christian's calling with these layers of clothes. What does it look like? Is that every one of those, you can't know those things without what? Relationships. You can't do these things. I mean, how do you know somebody is gracious? How do you know somebody's compassionate? How do you know somebody's patient? You have to have relationships. So now here's what Paul does. Paul, after he gives you the clothes you take off, now follow me. After he gives you the clothes you take off, and now the clothes you put on, he then shows you the relationships in community where they're manifested. And where is the first place that he says, here is where these things ought to be put on display. Where is the first place? The church. The church. Then next week we'll see these things displayed in the family, in a marriage. And then in the world. He says, here's how these things are displayed. First in the church, then I'll show you what it looks like in the family, and then I'll show you what it looks like in the world, in the most difficult situation in the world, a master-slave relationship. I'm going to show you what this looks like. So these things are shown in relationships. The first place that's looked is in the body of Christ, the glorious body of Christ, the bride of Christ. And he says, now what does he say about the bride of Christ? Now when you got these clothes, those clothes off, these clothes on, what does it look like? Just jot these down. The first thing he says is there'll be forbearance with one another. You will bear with one another. Guess what? None of us here have arrived. Guess what? None of us are perfect. Guess what? We're all in process. Guess what? We're still growing. So what do we need to have with each other in the body of Christ? If we've all got these clothes on, it'll show up with what? Forbearance. Bearing with one another. And then what's the next one he says? Forgiving each other. It's not just, okay, if that's what you're going to do, I'll put up with it. But even if they've sinned against you, you're ready and committed to what? Forgive them. Notice what it says. I was looking at it and thinking of it this way. Here's the way the world would do it. Bearing with one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, take them to court. No, if anyone has a complaint, what? Forgive. Forgiving one another, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So, we're called to forbearance. We're called to forgiveness. We're called to the, notice, and then what he says, let the peace of Christ rule. You see the word rule? It's the same, that word could be translated umpire. What's the final arbiter for every decision you and I make? The peace of Christ umpires it. Will this promote the peace of Christ? Not the peace of the world, the peace of Christ. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. So the peace of Christ is the umpire in the body of Christ. And then it says what? Be thankful. Look, it says, you know this is important because it says it. Remember when we were just singing a while ago? Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. With thanksgiving, I'll be living. Look at what he says. Three times thanksgiving shows up in this text. Look at what it says in go down to verse 15, and be thankful. Look down in verse 16, with thankfulness in your hearts to God, sing. Look down in verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. Do you know what the word thanks is, giving thanks? Eucharist. It's the word we use to talk about the Lord's Supper. Giving thanks. Eucharist, Eucharis, good graces back to the Lord, being thankful unto the Lord. Well, and then he says, here's the fifth one, let the word of Christ dwell within you. See, there's a wonderful statement I love. It says, WWJD. What does that mean? What would Jesus do? I love that. But let me give you another one. Here's another bracelet somebody can make, okay? WWJD. How do I know what is WWJD? Here's how you know. WDTBS. What did the Bible say? That's how you know what Jesus would do. Let the word of Christ dwell within you richly. Make the word of dwell within you. Make your life the word of Christ's living quarters. Spurgeon said this about Bunyan. I love to read Bunyan, the tinker. What a man of God. I believe if you cut his arm, he would bleed the Bible. Let the word of Christ dwell within you. Then here's the sixth thing. Teaching and admonishing one another. Teaching one another, admonishing one another. And then finally it says, singing. Worship is to mark it. The church that has the Christian clothes will be a worshiping church singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Notice, you know, psalms, that's the divine hymn book in your Bible. We love to sing the psalms. Hymns, great theological truths to great music. Spiritual songs. All the songs in the Bible were about the great acts of God in the popular culture of the day. The song of Miriam, the song of Elizabeth, on the great acts of God. Notice it doesn't say some of you sing psalms, some of you sing hymns, and some of you sing spiritual songs. It says singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with melody in our hearts to God. That's what he's called us to do. In other words, the church that's got these clothes on where Christ is in the midst of them will be marked out by worship. That's what music is. Theology in harmony and melody to the praise of God. And then he just says, in fact, I'm going to give you a whole world and life view statement. Whatever you do, in word and deed, everything you speak, everything you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus and do it with thanksgiving. There is your Christian world and life view. A life propelled by thanksgiving, a life that is set for the praise and glory of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, let me just give you some practical things to think about as you leave here with this text in front of you. Here's the first thing. As a Christian, looking at this, what are some takeaways? Here's the first one. Folks, look at how this text acknowledges the sovereignty of God and affirms personal responsibility. See, we have a hard time with this. In the name of personal responsibility, we deny the sovereignty of God. How can I be responsible if God is sovereign? How can I be a free moral agent if God is sovereign? But the Bible calls us, acknowledges the sovereignty of God, while at the same time calling us to personal responsibility. Put on, put off, put on, put off, put on, put off. You don't tell robots put on and put off. You tell people who make decisions to put on and put off. The Bible acknowledges the sovereignty of God and affirms the responsibility of man. Jesus did it all the time. I praise thee, Lord of heaven and earth. You did hide these things from the wise and intelligent, sovereignty of God. You did reveal them to babes, sovereignty of God. Next verse, come unto me, all of you that are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. No man can come to me unless the Father draw him, sovereignty of God. Next verse, the one who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Paul understood it. Paul was on a ship. The ship was going down. And as the ship was going down, God gave him a promise. He said, Paul, I'm giving you the life of every man on this ship. So Paul comes up. Everybody's jumping overboard. It's Acts chapter 27. Everybody's jumping overboard. What does Paul say? Paul doesn't become a fatalist in the name of the sovereignty of God and say, hey, guys, do what you want to. God's going to give every life. No, he says, God has made a promise. God has also called us to a means. He said, I will give you every life. Where? On the ship. So what does Paul say? I trust in God. He will give us every life on the ship. Then he called men to personal responsibilities. Men, stay on the ship. Sovereignty of God, personal responsibility. I'm chosen by God. God is sovereign to be holy and loved by Him. Now I'm called to affirm the affirmation of personal responsibility. Make choices, put off, put on in the light of His sovereign strength and grace. Here's the second takeaway that you need to, you and I need to see in the text. Is the Christian and the culture. The Christian and the church and the culture. I believe this is so crucial. The Christian and the church and the culture. Notice something. The church and the Christian are, I want you to give you three things here. The church and the Christian are connected to the culture. Why would He be calling us to all of this if we weren't in a broken world? Folks, God didn't call us to become Christians and go live up on a mountain and put a fence around us and separate ourselves from the world. Separate from worldliness, but not from the world. You're in the world, but not of the world. He expects us to be connected. But now notice, what is it that will bring people to Christ? We must be connected, but we must be countercultural. Do you think any place in the Middle East they called people to sexual morality? No. In the Middle East in that day, you wouldn't call men to sexual morality. You wouldn't. They'd do what they want to. But Paul says we're going against the culture. God's gift of sex belongs in marriage. Put off sexual immorality, impurity, and all of those things. Greek and Romans felt humility was a curse word. But he said, listen, we'll be humble. We'll be meek. We'll be gentle. What would happen the next time this world creates a movement or just an individual sins against God if we as a Christian and we as God's people manifested not anger, but kindness? Harry, now wait just a minute. Folks, I didn't say don't be angry at sin. I said, be kind to sinners. What would happen if the church did that? Instead of being angry and malicious. What would happen if we extended gentleness and compassion? You say, Harry, I just don't... Well, isn't that what God does with you? Isn't God kind and patient with you and me to what? Lead us to repentance? What would happen if we led people to Christ and repentance by showing the grace we preach? What would happen then? Well, that's just so convicting to me, I have to stop talking about it right now. But I've got to embrace it. Because I know that's what will bring people to Christ. Not my self-righteousness upon them. But the other righteousness of Christ has been given to me and graciousness extended to them. And kindness. Yes, I'll be angry at sin. Yes, we'll deal with sin. Yes, we'll deal with the issues. But to sinners we extend grace and mercy. So that in the Church of Jesus Christ, it's a death trap for sin, but it's a haven for sinners and they feel welcomed and loved as God's people draw them into the body of Christ. That brings me to the third word. That will transform the culture because it'll transform people who are led to Christ through not only the grace proclaimed, but the grace of God lived in kindness and gentleness and patience. First takeaway, sovereignty of God acknowledged, personal responsibility affirmed. Second takeaway, the Christian and the church must be in the world connected, but not of the world. We must be countercultural, and we need to be countercultural by how? By the way we live and speak, kindness and goodness and compassion and gentleness. And that will transform the culture from the bottom up. Where do we start? Where do we start? You're not going to believe this. I had R.C. Sproul for my doctorate. Two classes. One of the classes was gospel communication. I got the reading list. R.C. Sproul, reading list. John Malloy, Dress for Success. So I got John Malloy and I read Dress for Success. Now you know what John Malloy says in Dress for Success is everybody has a uniform. By the way, in the PCA, all of our pastors have a uniform. You cannot be ordained in the PCA unless you buy a blue blazer with tan slacks, dark slacks, gray slacks, and light gray slacks. That's it. If you got that, you can exist in the PCA. That's our uniform. We all wear that, okay? Dress for success. All right. I'd love for us as a church to write a new book. Dress for God. That's what I'd love for us to do. Write a new book that's dress not for success, but dress for God. What is our uniform? It's compassion, kindness, it's graciousness, it's humility, it's patience. It's beggars. That's all I am, folks. I'm a beggar. I don't have any merits. It's beggars that by God's grace have been cut loose in the king's closet, that we may walk in the regal robes of Christ. It's a people who can adorn the gospel. Don't you love that phrase? Adorn the gospel. Wear the gospel. Adorn the gospel. It's a people who just are constantly taking off the degrading grave clothes of the world and putting on heaven's wardrobe while we live here. This dressing for God. I believe the world will be turned upside down, not only by a persuasive, thoughtful, verbal communication of the gospel. I know faith comes from hearing the word, but the opportunity to share that word is so dependent upon the way we live. As we put on the regal robes of the king and shed the grave clothes of the world. Does anyone here know where Monk's Corner is? Oh, yeah, okay. Well, not a lot of people know. It's right outside of Charleston, South Carolina. I have relatives. When I grew up, we had relatives, of course, in Augusta, Georgia, Charlotte, and Charleston. Those were our three main areas. And when I go to Charleston, when I was a kid, in fact, I lived in Charleston, we had the chance to visit my great uncle and great aunt in Monk's Corner. I remember it. No electricity. No running water. No electricity, no running water. Water came from a well. And you had to go to the well five times a day. When you went to the well five times a day, you'd pick up buckets. Buckets of water to bring back. And each of my cousins would have to bring back two buckets. Now when they got from the well to the house, the buckets at best were three quarters full. Most of the time just half full. Now, how did they get from full? In fact, the question, why didn't you fill up the buckets? I filled them up. But they're only half full, only three quarters full. But I filled them up. Now, as a child, you're being accused of not filling up the buckets when you bring them back from the well. Question. What is your proof that you filled up the buckets? How can you prove to your daddy and mother that you didn't bring back a half-full bucket? It may be half-full, but when you started, it was a full bucket. How can you prove it? Okay. How did we convince our parents and my uncle and aunt that we started with a full bucket? The way you can convince the bucket was full when you started from the well is wet shoes. My shoes are wet. You want to know where the other part of the water went? When I was walking here, I had the bucket so full that it flowed over and my shoes are wet. You see, I think that's the key. I don't want you to leave here so resolved, I'm going to put on. I want you to leave here. Christ is all. Christ fills me. And Christ just keeps making your shoes wet as He overflows into the way you walk in this world. As you just love Him and abide with Him. Don't you see? Oh, I wish we just had more time to go. We won't take it, but I don't want to frighten you, but I just wish we did. Because did you hear it? The Word of Christ, the peace of Christ, singing praise to Christ, thanksgiving in Christ. Don't you see? It's not beginning with us. It's Christ in us. It's Christ is all. It's the peace of Christ. It's the Word of Christ. It's worship and praise to Christ. And there, what would happen in a church where people said, man, they forbear with one another. They love one another. They're patient. In fact, they're patient with unbelievers. Look at how they just draw us in. Look, hear them worship. Hear them sing with thanksgiving to God. Hear them live. Hear them live with lives of grace and compassion and kindness and gentleness. It doesn't happen with personal resolve. Intentional living, yes, but it happens as you're focused and filled with Christ and He just spills over.
We must be clothed with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forbearance, forgiveness, and love, knowing that we are God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved. Join us again next time as we continue with our series, Christ is All and in All, Colossians in Biblical Perspective. Now, if you would like to receive an audio copy of the entire message from which today's In Perspective was taken, write and request Changing Clothes as a Christian, Part 2, or simply ask for message number 9374. Again, that's message number 9374. We do request a gift of $5 to underwrite the cost of the CD, which includes shipping and handling. Address your request to In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama, 35243. Or email inperspective@briarwood.org. The 20th century saw historic biblical Christianity at war with unbiblical theological liberalism and the spread of contemporary progressive Christianity in today's evangelical church is the 21st century version of this ongoing spiritual battle. Just like the liberal Christianity before it, contemporary progressive Christianity is actually anti-Christian, claiming to rescue Christianity from cultural irrelevance while actually undermining and denying biblical truth. Dr. Harry Reeder's 9-part series, Progressive Christianity in Biblical Perspective, will help you understand this dangerous threat to the Christian faith by examining the marks of progressive Christianity and topics such as its motivation, mission, and message, Revoice Theology, and the tie between progressive Christianity and critical theory. To order this 9-CD album, Progressive Christianity in Biblical Perspective, go online to briarwood.org/progressive CD. This very well might be the most important series you will order this year. That's briarwood.org/progressive CD. Again, our address, In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama, 35243. This is an outreach of the Briarwood Pulpit, a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America, Birmingham, Alabama. Join us again next time as Harry Reeder takes us back into the Scriptures so that we might learn to put life in biblical perspective.